Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and welcome to another in a series of pre-system teleseminars with our System 2008 faculty. Every year before the system seminar, I interview every faculty member so we can find out what they're up to and the kinds of things they're going to be talking about at System 2008. These calls are mildly promotional in the fact that we are talking about the system seminar that will be held May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. But 99% of the time, we're going to be talking about pure content with the goal, and we've hit it on every call, of giving you several ideas that you can take away right now and apply directly to your business to make more money today, if not today, this week. I want to welcome our guest today, Chris Daigle.
Thank you.
Chris, a lot of people don't know, but before I got heavily involved in internet marketing in 93 and 94, I had a business that I put on a conference, not unlike what I'm doing now, except the subject was real estate finance, and I specialized in owner financing and helping people that were in that industry be more effective in that industry. And so I did quite a bit of thinking about real estate and internet and where they intersected. And in fact, in 95, I put on a little conference, not that many people, showed up, about 20, where we talked about real estate and the internet. It was 95, it was a little early, but people that followed my advice, I think, did pretty well. But you've taken this to a big degree, and I want to talk about what you, first of all, how you, what you do, how you found a particular path, and we're going to come up with some things that we can use to share with our listeners today.
Okay, very cool. First, I want to say thanks a lot for having me on here. It's a real honor, and I'm very excited about the opportunity to share what we're doing and the intersection of real estate and the internet with all the system seminar attendees in May. I guess a little background on me. I haven't always been the most tech savvy, and started out as a high-tech consultant of all places. Didn't really like that, but wanted to make the money and not have to travel, and saw a commercial, infomercial, and said, I could make money in real estate. So I kind of put my technology background behind me to focus solely on real estate investing, on the creative side, not necessarily buying and holding stuff, but wholesaling properties, a.k.a. flipping properties. I've done some rehabs and things like that. And I guess early on I started focusing on foreclosures. And if anybody on this call watches the news, reads the paper, whatever, they understand that it's become a very big issue nationwide, but we were a little ahead of the curve, and I recognized that there was a document that when you're negotiating with the banks to get a discount on the foreclosure property, they require a specific document be generated every time you make an offer. And my first, I guess, online endeavor was we outsourced way back in 2001, to a firm in India that built a web-based application that would kind of like a wizard or a template for these foreclosure investors, and they could enter a little data into some fields, and it would take that information and it would populate this rather complicated document, a PDF version of it. So the document's called a HUD, and my website is EasyHUD, so we made it very easy for investors to do that. And it's a monthly membership site, and instantly it was a big hit, and it continues to get new members on a daily basis. But it was more of a hobby than anything for me. I didn't really understand the amount of money that I could make online because I was doing very well with my real estate investing business. Well, I say very well. It suited my lifestyle very well. I didn't have to work a lot. Transaction size was usually pretty big because we're talking about a house, not an ebook. So the website, it grew, you know, in spite of me. I didn't do a whole lot of promotion except word of mouth stuff. Investors started sharing links with each other. And before I knew it, it was a pretty good amount of, I guess what I'll call play money, because, again, I wasn't really that serious about the Internet. And you know, I was doing really well in my local market of New Orleans. And Hurricane Katrina hit, and literally overnight, my real estate investing business disappeared. And luckily for me, I had EasyHUD, and almost overnight I had to focus on how can I create the income that I was making with real estate investing from this little website, or what I thought was a little website. I think I hadn't been to a real estate investing internet marketing seminar before that. So everything that I'm about to tell you as far as the success I've had online has really only been over the past 2.5 years. So, you know, and I started seeing results immediately. So I want to let everybody know that even if you're just getting started and, you know, you haven't even gotten a website yet, it doesn't take a whole lot of time before you can start to see the fruits of your labor online. And now, I guess, long story short, where I am now, put a lot of focus into my website, and I'm making more money online now than I ever did with the real estate investing. I do still continue to invest in real estate, although it's not my primary source of income anymore.
When real estate was your primary focus, you were using fairly straightforward traditional marketing methods, I imagine. Mail and telephone.
We were doing direct. I'll tell you, our formula was pretty much I'd send a guy out into the field. He would go and drive around and find vacant and ugly houses. He'd come back. We'd do a little bit of research online through the county records, and we'd find out who the owners were of these vacant properties, and then we would handwrite letters to these people mm-hmm. saying we're interested in buying your house. So mm-hmm. it wasn't this sophisticated direct mail campaign or anything like that, but it worked, and we didn't really, I mean, I was familiar with some of the guys who were teaching direct marketing strategies out there and that sort of thing, but we didn't really, we weren't terribly sophisticated, and it was working, and I guess my philosophy, again, was if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm not going to say I was lazy, but I was living a lifestyle that I was very comfortable with, and I guess wasn't really driven to excel in that area. So, but yeah, it was basic stuff.
Hey, Chris, I probably should have asked you this at the beginning of the call. Are you on a speakerphone?
I am on a headset.
Okay.
I can pull that off.
I think it might be better, if you. Yeah, let's see. Let's hear now. Let's hear. Can you say something now?
Yes. Is that better?
Not much. Might as well put that headset back on.
Okay.
Okay, just checking. We have different qualities of phone lines in different parts of the country. You're in Tampa right now, right?
I am. I'm actually here for a conference on real estate investing, but using technology. So this is an area that has really started to take hold in real estate investing circles. People are starting to see the value of understanding how to leverage technology in their real estate investing business. And I'll talk about why they're doing that, and it's going to make a lot of sense to you regardless of your industry or niche, but I am in Tampa.
You're out there with Michael Collins, who has a very successful business and has attended the system multiple times.
Yes. A lot of the guys out here that are teaching this have attended the system, read your books, been to your blog, listened to the interviews just like the ones we're doing today, and were able to apply a lot of stuff into their business. I think you saw that when you came to our event.
Yeah, Chris put on a wonderful event in New Orleans, and of course I'm here this winter. So he was kind enough to invite me, and I went over, and it was really great. I must have run into 20 or 30 people that have either been through our programs or listened to our stuff, and it was a nice occasion to actually be able to spend time talking with them, because you know at the big event I'm sort of running around a little bit. I don't get a chance to talk to people, so this was a more laid back event. And I got to say, I loved your event very much. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
So, tell us about your first system experience, and then we'll get into the actual stuff that you're doing in more detail.
I'm not going to say that I thought I had it all figured out, but I will say this. I wasn't necessarily going to learn a ton of stuff, but I just knew that there was going to be a lot of people that I wanted to network with because, I had seen the marketing for other events, and they had a lineup of speakers and that sort of thing, but the sheer volume of experts that were at the system was the reason that I chose to go to the system. I put myself out there, and, you know, I'm a little timid, but I approached a lot of the experts that I wanted to talk to and was really surprised at how accessible they were. And, you know, they didn't really see themselves as, you know, I'm this big deal. And I kind of built it up that, oh, my gosh, that's so-and-so or that's whoever. But I just walked up to them, and, you know, everybody was hanging out. They didn't run off to the green room to go and, you know, talk about, oh, I hate talking to attendees or whatever. And I know that, at least in the real estate investing world, it's very disappointing when you go to these events, because a lot of times that quote-unquote gurus or experts, they travel on a different level than the attendees, but that wasn't the case at the system. And I just, not only did I get to meet a lot of experts, but I met a lot of the attendees who just seemed to be genuine people. And it was a good experience, a fun experience, and a very encouraging experience because, again, everybody seemed to be so accessible. I mean, even you. The reason that I even approached you in the first place was because in New Orleans we have a very specific type of music. It's pretty funky. It's called brass band, and it's something that you don't hear in any other city. And during the, it's kind of high energy, but during the breaks, me and my buddy from New Orleans, you know, there'd be a break, the speaker would go off, and we'd hear brass band, and I was like, what the heck is that? So, you know, I found a reason to go up and talk to you and say, hey, man, what's up with that? And then that's kind of how I discovered the really cool stuff that you're doing to help out the recovery of New Orleans, and that's, you know, ultimately what led to me being on this call, is that we were able to, through a common passion for rebuilding New Orleans, we're able to, you know, create a foundation of a friendship.
Well, one of the reasons that I think our faculty is accessible or is because so many of the system faculty are graduates of the program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're people that started with us from scratch. You know, Perry Marshall's a great example. You know, Howie Jacobson, the author of AdWords for Dummies, is an example. Lloyd Irvin, who's pressing on
mm-hmm.
$10 million a year, is an example. And it just goes on and on. And we've always had the attitude from the beginning, and we worked very hard to maintain that spirit that, you know, we're all in this together. Nobody knows everything, and everybody can be helpful to everybody else. And frankly, we cherish our beginner students. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, I always remember where I was not that long ago in the scheme of things. And my better, well, the faculty members that stay with us, let's just put it that way, retain that memory of how, you know, challenging it is in the beginning and how important it is to get a kind word, you know, and a hand.
Yeah.
And frankly, faculty members that lose that attitude, they're out there. And I've kind of made some enemies along the way. But you know what? This is about the students. I've made my money, you know, and I'm only,
yes.
and I make money on the seminars. If I can't produce an environment where anybody can walk in and feel comfortable and feel that they belong and feel that they have access to everything that's going on, I'm doing something wrong. So I'd rather make my attendees happy than make, you know, the larger society of internet gurus happy, you know. So tell us what you actually do now in the internet space. So you started out as a you know, sort of a brick and mortar nuts and bolts real estate investor, finding properties that were underpriced and negotiating, and then flipping them or selling them. Tell me about your business mix now and how the internet has enhanced what you do.
Okay. In my experience, the creative real estate industry has never been very tech forward. So there have been opportunities in the past for people. I mean, I talked to somebody that bought their first house in 2000 by looking at listings online. But generally speaking, my niche isn't quick to embrace technology because it is a very, you know, press the flesh, shake hands, talk to the homeowner type of business. But ultimately, as in any business, the real estate, being successful in real estate, boils down to a numbers game. The more sellers you can contact, the more, you know, potential deals that will come into your pipeline, the more potential deals that come into your pipeline, ultimately the more you're going to close. Now, most people in my industry tend to be, you know, mom and pop, maybe one guy, maybe a guy and his wife, or a guy and a business partner. And there's really, I mean, especially if you're familiar with e-myth, you know, theory and stuff, there's really only so much that you can do as a small organization. Now, because I had the website EasyHUD, I saw that there was a lot of potential to leverage the internet in my real estate investing business. I was helping investors do it on a daily basis. Well, almost a year ago, I started noticing that there was a couple of investors out there. A little backstory, the market for us, especially in the foreclosure investing industry, has changed dramatically with the acceleration of the number of foreclosures. Banks are overwhelmed. It's not as easy to get in touch with a decision maker at the lender who can tell you, yes, we'll give you a discount on this property. So,
can I interrupt for a second? Because this is really important. A lot of pitchmen are out there on TV and so on telling beginners, hey, this is a great time for foreclosure investing. Look at all the foreclosures.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me that you, as somebody that's actually been in the field, say, no, it was better when it was quieter. Now it's become difficult just because of the confusion in the marketplace and just the sheer volume and overwhelm that everybody's going through. So for those of you that have maybe been on the fence about maybe biting at one of these foreclosure trainings, this may not be the best time in the real estate cycle to be in that. So I just want to throw that out there because that's a pretty big insight that you've got.
Well, I do want to say that that's my viewpoint. But, being here at this conference just last night, I was networking with some of the speakers who foreclosure is their niche. And I will say that their opinion is that if you thought you were making money in foreclosures, a couple years ago, just wait, that it's really about to blow up. But the thing is the strategies that some of these guys are teaching are from a couple years ago. So you can still make money in foreclosures, but my advice to anybody who is interested in exploring that would be make sure that the people who are teaching you are in today's market, because there's actually only a few resources that I recommend to the EasyHUD community to go and get some foreclosure training, and that's because those guys they're adapting to the marketplace. There was a few people at my event that you were at in New Orleans that said, it's crazy to say you can't make money in foreclosures, but in all fairness, they're not investing today the way they were a couple years ago. So there's still money to be made. Just make sure that the folks that you're learning from aren't teaching you yesterday's strategies.
That's so important. Businesses go through cycles and changes.
Yeah.
Real estate cycles are a little more predictable because, they tend to go through the same patterns over and over again. We have the same issue in internet marketing. God help anybody that's trying to follow last year's search engine advice.
Yes, yes.
Unfortunately, a lot of people do not update their material. Some do. Those that do, I have to say, are the ones that we invite to come back every year. Now, you've made some changes then to your approach to the market. Instead of going straight for foreclosures, can you talk a little bit about your how you've adapted to the marketplace?
Yeah, we're doing some cool stuff now. Like I said, about a year ago, I started noticing there was a few investors who, because their markets had changed significantly, one in particular who's my business partner, he'll be there in attendance with me at the system. He was doing actually created a concept called virtual wholesaling. Now, his market was in South Florida, and the South Florida market, it tanked. A lot of investors, a lot of speculators stepped in, and as a result, there was a lot of property that was purchased down there at inflated prices that are empty now and going into foreclosure. So rather than him, kind of adapt to the market, he said, I'm going to find a place, and I'm going to figure out how to invest in that market. For instance, he chose markets such as, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Raleigh, North Carolina, Memphis, Tennessee, places in Alabama that he never physically travels to now. But what he did was he looked at ways for you to get your direct mail pieces fulfilled for you. Now, the more, sophisticated marketers that are listening to this, that's old news. But if you're just getting started, the days of you having to, lick an envelope and hand address stuff, you don't have to do that anymore. There's services out there. The U.S. Postal Service will allow you to upload, copy, and they will fulfill postcards for you. You just give them your credit card number, and they'll actually print them and send them. So it's not a complicated process. So what we did was, Chris in particular, my business partner's name is Chris as well, was using services like that and then some other fulfillment houses, and he was buying lists of homeowners. You can go online right now, and in 10 minutes, you could have a list of every, property that was in probate, or maybe not probate necessarily, but depending on your criteria for property, you can buy a list and download it, again, as long as you get your credit card. So he would download the lists, he would upload the list to USPS, he would type his copy in there, and he'd send out a broadcast. And he would drive sellers that received his pieces, he would drive them to either 24-hour recorded messages so that he wasn't, tied to the phone, or he would drive them to a website that explained,
I'm a real estate investor. I buy properties at discounts. You know, his whole marketing strategy. And it started to work for him. So what we've really done is he expanded that, and over the course of about 24 months, he netted a little over $1.4 million from wholesaling properties in markets that he never visited, selling houses that he never saw. I mean, I know it sounds sensational, but the truth of the matter is that everything that you need to do this business is now online. So the technology is caught up with the intent. And this is something that we've been teaching other investors, and the other investors, they're replicating our results. So we know that this is not just, hey, you know, my business partner was a smart guy, he's pulling this off. This is something that even newer investors with small budgets, because of technology, because of the internet, can now send out $500 worth of postage. We got a case study that we took, I think, last week from some people. They had about a $1,000 budget, and they spent $500 of it buying the list and sending out some postcards to their, I think they did a market maybe that was about 20 miles away. And out of those pieces, they've netted $12,000 so far. Now, I'm certainly not saying that that's a typical result, but it's not an uncommon result if you're using technology. And I'll tell you the interesting thing, Ken, and it's not like in a bragging position, but I can certainly say that if there's any market in the country, I don't care how tough it is, there's going to be some investors that have been in that market for 20 years. They've got a, you know, their brick and mortar business. They've got their team. They're doing their billboards and that sort of thing. Using the internet and the direct mail fulfillment that I was talking about, within, let's say, 60 days to be safe, I could pick that market and I could have just as many sellers calling me and actually build a buyer's list, which is very important for your properties, in 60 days, and could be at a level that took them 20 years to get to. And that's very intimidating and scary for the old guard in real estate investing. But the truth is, everybody that I talk to now, all of these, the newer investors and even the advanced investors who have dropped the ego, they're coming to us and they're saying, look, man, we recognize that, you know, even in this, again, brick and mortar and very face-to-face industry, that if we're not using the internet and not using basic technology, these younger folks that are just getting started, or newer folks who aren't intimidated by technology, are going to severely impact our bottom line. So it's amazing how quickly people are recognizing that even in this industry, creative real estate investing, flipping homes, that the internet is now a utility, just like the telephone is. I mean, you have to have it in your business, or else you are going to be, it'd be like if you tried to run your business without a fax machine or a telephone. It's just, you're competing at a severe disadvantage, and there really is, with as simple as it is now, there's no intelligent reason to continue to invest in the old paradigm.
You know, what's so interesting about the real estate market is the models are very duplicatable, you know.
Yes.
In other words, like, for instance, if you're, you know, if you're selling physical products or you're selling an info product, there's quite a bit of technical hustle involved and promotional hustle involved, and a lot of never-ending creativity. You know, you never get to create a simple system that you just, you know, roll over and over and over again. And real estate really allows for that. There are market, you know, cycles, and you have to adapt to the market cycle, but they're pretty predictable, and they happen fairly slowly. They don't, you know, don't wake up one day and suddenly you're in a different market. And then you alluded to something earlier, which is really important, which is size of the transactions is huge.
Yeah.
In comparison to selling a widget or selling a an ebook, and the marketplace until fairly recently, really was largely populated by, I'm not going to say they were unsophisticated, because within their realm they're very sophisticated, but when it comes to marketing and technical issues, they just don't have it. These guys are the kind of guys that will, you know, literally knock on doors.
Yes.
They'll just get out of their car, which is not a bad approach, by the way, not to sneer at that, because it's pretty smart way to get to learn to market. I was at a conference in New York about 2 years ago, real estate and internet conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to meet the founder of Expedia, which is the big travel site.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just paid the transition. He said, "Well, travel's good, but real estate's better." And he personally had just made the transition from internet travel to internet real estate, and he founded Zillow, the site that some people may know. And it kind of dawned on me. I was like, "Well, of course, airline ticket's a few hundred bucks. A house these days is a couple of hundred thousand bucks. Where's the biggest potential?" So this is very interesting stuff. So let me just talk a little bit about, ask you some questions a little about real estate wholesaling. It's a term that you mentioned, and I'm going to tell you what I think it is, and correct me where I'm wrong or enhance my understanding of it. Basically there's a whole society of real estate investors out there that are looking for deals, houses that they can rehab or rehab and then resell at a profit. Their challenge is to find properties to sell.
Yes.
And it's hard. You know, if it was easy, everybody would do it. And on the other hand, you have this world of people who, for whatever reason, have a property that's got to go, and it's got to go fast, and it's not going fast, and they need someone to help them, enter the market and get that thing moving. And so what I love about what you're doing is, instead of what the crazy thing that a lot of people do, which is see a house, fall in love with it, mortgage their house to try to renovate it, and then discover they got their math wrong, you actually find buyers before you even, get going, and then you look for the sellers, and then your business is basically matching ready buyers with ready sellers, and you're kind of out of the rehab business and the holding real estate business and so on. Pretty much correct?
Yeah, it is. Wholesaling, some people have heard the term flipping, and maybe it's gotten, especially in the media, they've tried to make it sound like there's a negative association with it. But the truth of the matter is that there's individuals that are out there, and because of life circumstances or, goals in life, they no longer want to hold a property. So what we do is, again, we buy lists of people who typically fall into that category. One category that I'll talk about is an absentee owner. And what that means is, perhaps it's somebody that owned a house in Austin, Texas, but they now live in California or Colorado, but they still have that house. If any of you listening to this have tenants in a property, you know that being a landlord isn't that glamorous. So we found that we get a very high response rate to our direct mail pieces that we send out to them. Again, it's a targeted message to a very specific seller, but we get anywhere from, depending on the market, a 4 to a 12% response rate, which for anybody doing direct mail, that's a very impressive, and those are consistent numbers. And those individuals, what we do is we have them call into a pre-recorded message because we let them know that it's a pre-recorded message because there's not a lot of intimidation. They're not going to be sold anything or be pitched anything on the phone. They understand they can call and get information. And plus, what that does is I can now, you mentioned knocking on doors. It's a great way, but how many doors can I knock on in a day? It's certainly limited, even if I had a team of door knockers doing that. Now, the thing with the Internet is I can buy a list of 1,000 absentee owners in a market or 10,000. So using the technology, it becomes very scalable. I can run a lot more numbers through my system using technology than I could if it was a manual process and I had 15 employees and high overhead. I'm the only person that's in my business. I outsource a couple of the steps in the process to other people, but I don't have, and I can manage just as many leads as an old school investor with literally an office full of staff. And then once those people respond, we're very clear in our message. We're not looking to pay retail for the property. We're investors. Our intention is to resell the property or assign the contract, which is essentially just a faster way to move the property. And so people are very clear. They understand what our intention is. And even being that upfront and letting people know we're going to make a profit on your property, to some people it just doesn't matter. As long as they get a price that they're happy with, the headache and the pain of having to deal with trying to find a new tenant or trying to collect rent, it's just not worth it. They'd rather settle up. So at that point, what we do in conjunction with that is we buy a list off the Internet of individuals in that targeted market who have bought a property in the last 3 months or bought two or more properties in the past 12 months. Because our research has indicated that those are likely to be, some portion of those will be investors. And we do the same thing. We send those investors a very targeted message through a direct mail fulfillment company. It's like USPS. And we drive those folks to a recorded message that says, this is the deal. I'm an investor. I get properties under contract, and I wholesale them to other investors. There, I will make a small profit on the property. If you want to be put on our list, either leave a message, or a lot of times what we do is we drive them to what anybody on this call would probably just say is a squeeze page, and it is. But on our squeeze page, we say, hey, sign up, opt in, you know, and we will notify you via email when a property, when we have a property available in your area. So we build up a big list. Now, obviously, not all of those people are going to be cash qualified, ready to close tomorrow, but, you know, apply an 80-20 rule, and you're going to see that, you know, a certain degree of those are going to be very qualified buyers. Now, what we're doing is, it still may be difficult for somebody to understand, well, how can you determine the property value? How do you know you're paying the right price? You know, how do you know you're not paying more than you can sell it for? Well, we can. You mentioned Zillow. There's a ton of tools out there that are web-based that allow me to get accurate property valuations in any market in the country. So I can sit at my place in Austin, Texas, and tell you how much a property should be worth in, you know, probably 95% of the markets in the country. And again, well, you know, the homeowner may be saying that the house is in perfect condition. How do you know? Well, it could be as simple as, let's say I want to do this in Chicago. I could put an ad on Craigslist that said, I'm looking for real estate assistance. And one of my friends actually has a service that does that. And within 24 hours, you could have anywhere from 10 to 50 people respond saying, look, I'll do the legwork. And what we've done now is once we screen through those, we'll call them bird dogs, the people on the ground for us in that remote market, we'll send them out a flip camera. Most of you may know what a flip camera is. It's a very inexpensive but high-quality digital camera, usually between $1 and $200. So we'll send that out to our bird dog, and when we get a property, we get, you know, we talk to a seller. They respond to our direct mail. We talk to the seller. We find out that, hey, this looks like a deal based on our property valuations. Then we'll tell the bird dog, take that flip camera, and I want you to go to this address, and I want you to start filming. I want you to film, you know, what the street looks like, you know, what the neighbors' houses look like. And I want you to do a walkthrough of the property. And as you're doing that, I want you to really take a look, you know, are there holes in the floor? Is there leaks in the ceiling? And so in, you know, 30 minutes after I send my bird dog out to the house, they can upload this video to the internet, to YouTube or whatever. And I can, sitting at my house in Austin, I can do a walkthrough of a property and, you know, determine whether or not the homeowner was telling me the correct information. And I can also use that same video when I am ready to sell the property. What we do is we'll send out a broadcast email to our buyers and we'll say, hey, we've got a property at, you know, 123 Main Street. And click on this link to find out more information about it. Now we can, when the buyer, the interested investor buyer, clicks on that link, they're taken to one of our websites that will show them. We might have a link to, you know, a Google Earth or Google Map type image where they can kind of see a high level. We might have links. Once the investor buyer hits our website, there'll be links to property comps or valuations so that they can do a lot of what's called due diligence or research on the property without ever the buyer now is we create convenience because they don't have to leave their house and go walk through it. The buyer can watch the same walkthrough that I got to watch to determine if I was going to buy the property. So we've made this very simple for us to really do it from the house. I mean, I don't have to go and meet with people. Same thing, well, how do you get the paperwork signed? Well, we have the contracts that we use. They're on our websites. So if when the seller's ready, we say go to the website, click on that link, download it, have your, you know, attorney review it, fill out the paperwork, and FedEx it to us. Same thing with the buyers. When the buyer's ready to sign, we can tell the buyer, go to the website, download our purchase and sale agreement. And so really the necessity to sit across from somebody at their kitchen table to, you know, sign the paperwork, it feels good sometimes, but it's no longer required. And once an investor can get past the paradigm of, well, you know, you got to go and meet them face-to-face, then you start to realize that it's, as Mike Collins, you mentioned him earlier, he recognizes that we have now reduced the buying and selling of real estate to a clerical event for, you know, most folks. So that's, I guess, there's more, you know, pieces to it, but it's not a terribly complicated model. And the reason we focus on wholesaling, if any of you are out there and interested in real estate, wholesaling is really, it's an entry-level method to get, because you're not rehabbing the house. You don't have to deal with contractors. You're not negotiating with lenders. You're finding a property. You're paying a price less than what you can sell it for. And that's mm-hmm. it. Very simple. Mm-hmm.
And that's where grinding through lots and lots of leads efficiently and automatically comes in handy. Because
yes.
it's just the law of large numbers. If you look at lots and lots of deals, some amazing mm-hmm. things are going to jump out. I don't know, Chad Mack and I were looking at a transaction that took place here in New Orleans. I don't know if we told mm-hmm. you about it. But, I mean, a plum of a house. I mean, just
right.
ridiculous. 5,000 square feet, right on St. Charles, made by a name architect, stained glass windows, huge formal garden, $790,000.
Wow.
You know, why? Well, I don't know. I guess the guy had to get some money fast.
And exactly.
That's a 1 in 1,000 or 1 in 2,000 deal. But if somebody had a mechanism for mining all that data automatically,
yes.
painlessly, they would have come across that deal and they would have bought it, and that house is easily worth twice that amount.
Yep.
And these kind of, and what's cool about the real estate marketplace is it's an inefficient market.
Yes.
You know, it's not like, well, hey, bananas are 49 cents a pound. You know, what are you going to do, save a penny on bananas or, you know, charge an extra penny? But when it comes to real estate, all kinds of wild stuff happens because it is an illiquid, relatively illiquid investment. And then, again, the transaction sizes are really large. So what's fascinating to me is everything you're doing is some people say, well, gee, that's just ABC. I mean, we've been doing that
yes.
for years, selling our e-books and selling our teleseminars. And I'm
yes.
saying, well, maybe ABC, but when these guys close the deal, they're putting $50,000 to $100,000 in the bank sometimes.
Right, right.
So you tell me who's ABC. And
right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
so,
I was just going to say, I hope that people don't get, you know, gloss over it because of the simplicity of it, because this is something that it's obvious that the same strategies that work for an ebook will work for whatever your product happens to be, even if you consider your business to be an offline business. The same mechanics work. You can buy a list of prospects, whatever you've identified the prospect to be for your niche as an ideal client. You can upload your message to, you know, clicktomail.com or something like that and broadcast to these people with a direct mail piece, drive them back to the same thing, whether you're, I could see it as a service, perhaps you're a plumber or, you know, a dentist or whatever. You can do this same stuff. It certainly doesn't have to just apply to real estate or ebooks. And that's what I want, you know, I would hope that people would get.
Well, what's cool, too, is, and then people should pay attention to this, is Chris and his colleagues immediately, for lack of a better word, qualify the leads.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're very upfront about it, you know, not
yeah.
harsh, but just saying, hey, you know, this is what we do. You know, if you're thinking that this is going to be a full retail price sale, you know, this is not that kind of deal, but this is the kind of deal it is, and if this is interesting, please come to the next step. Now, you need to do that because otherwise you'd be on the phone all day talking to everybody on earth.
Yeah.
But every business could benefit from having this laser beam clarity on what kind of client they really can serve. It's not true that we can be all things to all people. And whatever you're selling, you might take a lesson from that one little piece of having this very clear picture of who you're most likely to help. And there's a couple of benefits to that, but one of them is when you lay that out and you just describe what it is that you're looking for and the prospects get that information, the ones that are your best prospects will recognize themselves and they'll jump in the boat.
Yeah.
And then ones that may be a little troublesome and maybe not, you know, maybe you could make some money from them, but in the long run they're not going to be worth the effort. They hopefully will self-select and go elsewhere. So don't try, you know, there's a tendency sometimes, especially among beginning marketers, to try to be all things to all people and accommodate to everyone and accommodate to every marketplace and every possibility and every permutation. And you're really much better sitting down, spending a little time going, all right, who is the ideal candidate for what it is I have to offer? Who can I help the most? Who am I set up to work with? And define that and insert that into your follow-up process, you know, sooner rather than later. This is really good stuff. So Chris, I've asked you to head a panel at System 2008, And you're going to get some of your colleagues in the real estate industry that are using the internet in sophisticated ways, and are going to talk, you know, about what you do, about real estate in general, maybe some stuff about the market today and where it's headed. I bet a lot of people will be interested in that, but also the opportunities in real estate for people that are able to automate these processes.
That's true, and I think that something that people need to understand is that this has been of interest to internet marketers now, because they understand that with the process as we've developed it, the requirement for you to be knowledgeable about real estate investing has been significantly reduced. The learning curve to be successful at virtual wholesaling, it's a very compressed learning curve, because you're not going and measuring properties and that sort of thing. Everything, all the information you need is online. And so even if you've thought about investing in real estate, or maybe if you haven't even thought about investing in real estate, what you need to understand is that you're buying a product and selling a product, and you're, you know, even on the small end, you'll make per transaction, let's say, $3,000 to $5,000, and there'll be the occasional, you know, goodie that comes through that you do put $50,000 to $100,000 in your pocket on a transaction as simple as I've described.
And you know, whether the market is, you know, frothy, you know, as it was a couple of years ago, or whether the news media is banging the, you know, playing a dirge, as they're doing now, this is a market that doesn't go away. I mean, people have to live somewhere.
Yes.
No matter what's going on in the world, transactions are taking place. I mean, I'm sure people are buying and selling houses in Iraq right now.
The
form of the marketplace is definitely going to change with the business cycle, but the actual marketplace itself is just not going to change. It's not going anywhere. And what's really interesting is to a large extent, assuming they caught up with technology, but the skills that worked in 1950, which is, hey, talk to a lot of sellers, know your values, know a good deal when you see one, know your local market, you know, those skills really haven't changed much, and probably will be, you know, there'll be differences, but the fundamental business
right.
is not going to change next year or 10 years, maybe even 100 years from now.
Right.
And you guys, I want to say this too, you guys are actually providing a very important service to these individual marketplaces and the economy as a whole, because, and that's why I loved creative real estate people, and why I got involved in the owner financing movement years ago. And I found that so exciting. That was a time when interest rates were sky high. And not only that, but nobody could qualify for a loan, which meant there was all these properties. Real estate obviously is extremely sensitive to finance, you know.
Yeah.
Take away the finance and the sales grind to a halt. So a lot of people came up with the idea of seller financing, which is that in cases where the seller didn't absolutely need their whole bit, they could actually become a bit the bank and receive payments. And that became a huge market. A lot of these notes were created. And the notes were very illiquid, illiquid meaning hard to sell. And so these guys went about creating a more liquid marketplace where they would involve investors. You know, I won't get too technical here, but they would actually buy mortgages. And, you know, that may seem like a strange concept, but it's just like buying them. It's sort of like buying a bond. You're buying an income stream.
Yeah.
So those guys really added, and it was, and I have to say, it was individual entrepreneurs. It wasn't the government, it wasn't the Fed, it wasn't the White House, it wasn't, you know, the Treasury Secretary. It was guys in the trenches rolling up their sleeves and being creative, and they brought tremendous liquidity to the real estate market when it was desperately needed. And you guys are doing the same thing. How many people on this call have bought a property? I mean, what a nightmare it could be, how, you know, complicated and
yes.
convoluted and so on. And you guys are, like you said, you're reducing the transaction to just some straightforward clerical tasks. Because really, once people decide they want to sell or they want to buy, all that other friction that's been put in the marketplace, put there to increase fees, I'm sure, for all the parties involved, it's better to get that friction out. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of consideration before you buy and a lot of consideration before you sell. But once you've decided, all that stuff, that slows everything down, that benefits absolutely no one. Also, you guys are creating a market, really, for people to sell their properties into when the traditional market is pretty tight right now. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know many places in this country where you can quickly and easily sell a house even with a discount. I mean, you really have to, you know, pull some rabbits out of your hat. And you know what? I mean, we're talking in 2008. Yeah, this condition may persist for a couple of years more.
Mm-hmm.
It may even get worse. But what's so great is people like you and your colleagues and everybody that's involved in creative real estate, you find the way around it, and you're helping a lot of people. Because really, what's worse than having a house you need to sell and not be able to sell it? That's a pretty bad situation.
And there's something that you mentioned that, yes, there's people buying and selling in Iraq right now. What we teach these investors is if the market as a whole is down, let's say you live in South Florida, your market's not doing so great right now, but Amarillo, Texas may be, and you know, not immune to it, but maybe they didn't experience the run-up in prices, so now they're not experiencing the deflation that's come with prices, and maybe their market is, you know, the average market in the U.S. right now has about 14 months worth of inventory on it, meaning that it would take, if no more properties were put up for sale, it would take, at the going rate, 14 months to liquidate everything that's listed. But in places like Amarillo, it might be 2 months worth of inventory. And with virtual wholesaling, you can buy the list for Amarillo and build the buyer's list and contact the out-of-town owners and all that stuff for, even if you live in Chicago or, you know, Miami or Austin or New Orleans, you're not limited because of this stuff. You're no longer limited to your specific geographic area.
Gotcha.
Which is very exciting. And that
really
is.
That really is, because, you know, really until the Internet came along, real estate investing was really highly localized. And if the market that you lived in tanked, you were just sort of out of luck.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted to pick up and move. And there are some very dedicated real estate investors currently and in the past that would do that. You know, they would just say, okay, Buffalo's not doing well. Let's go out to Vegas, you know.
Right.
But you know, maybe you like Buffalo, or maybe you like where you live, and you don't want to move. And I mean, let's talk about this since we're segueing into it pretty nicely, which is, you know, why do we do this? Why do we run around and create these systems and go through all this and you know, pile up all this money? I mean, what's the point? You know, if you love Buffalo and your business requires that you move to Las Vegas, and you don't really particularly want to be in Las Vegas, but you're just there for the numbers. Are you really winning? Is that a win? You know, I think a win is to live life on your own terms.
Yes.
And, you know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, that the Internet makes that possible. Well, I'm proof of it right now. I mean, I decided I want to spend, you know, 4 months, 5 months in New Orleans, and I just did it. And maybe this summer I'm going to want to spend some time up in Montreal, Canada, and I'm just going to do it. And my income, if anything, is accelerating because I'm having more fun so that I don't find working so much, you know.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just want to make sure that, for one thing, that if you're there at the system and you either, you know, see me or whatever and you have some questions about this stuff, I want to make sure that everybody understands that I'm totally accessible and available, and that I'm going there to learn just like you are. So feel free to walk up to me and ask me any questions about it, because if you've got some property right now, and I know a lot of people on here probably, you know, who didn't invest or take advantage of some of the opportunities that were, you know, around a couple years ago, and a lot of you may be in a situation to where maybe you're paying notes on a property that is no longer worth what you paid for it. Maybe you got an investment property, or maybe your own property. If you have any issues or any questions like that, or know somebody who might be dealing with something, feel free to come up and talk to me. I'm not there just to speak on the panel and leave.
Great. I
want to say
that. I really appreciate that. Had a lot of fun with Chris and
yeah.
my colleague Chad Mack down here in New Orleans. And you're now in Austin for now. It's a place that you really enjoy living. And
yes.
you pop over here a lot. Now you're over in Tampa with some other friends.
Yes.
I have to say, you know, I'm a northerner, and I've had a great time. I'm going to be moving back up in a couple of weeks back to New York, but this is the longest time I've ever spent in the South, and I've had a great time in all the different places I've been. I had a chance to go out to the Austin area to visit with Jay Douglas, the great internet video guy, and probably will be heading to Tampa maybe and myself a little later and Naples, meet with some real estate folks. And,
nice.
Yeah, South is a fun place to be.
I think we've taken good care of you in New Orleans.
You really have. I gotta hand it to you guys. You made me really feel at home here.
Good.
And it's been a big help. It's been a big help. So, you know, I just want to encourage everybody to take advantage of all these free calls that we're doing. I hope that there was material on this call that was well worth your time. And I do value your time. I mean, it's an hour out of your life. But I think, I know I learned some things. And you may have learned some things, too, that could have a lot of potential value to you financially and maybe in other ways as well. So at a minimum, do make sure that you're taking advantage of all these free calls. They're all designed like this. We like to get to know the faculty members and understand, well, who are they? What kind of people are they and what's behind what they do? And then we go into the content of what they have to share. And now here's a little time. Now it's time for a little commercial. If you like what you're hearing on these calls and it makes sense to you, I want to encourage you to come to System 2008 in Chicago. That's May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. We have the biggest event in the internet marketing world, 25 faculty members, actually more than that because your panel is going to have several people on it. We've added some new people, so it's 25 plus. It's the only place in the whole internet universe where you can go and custom tailor your own education. Not everybody's a beginner, and not everybody's advanced. Not everybody's interested in info products. Not everybody's interested in real estate. And yet when you go to the typical internet marketing conference, you pretty much have to get on the train and go wherever the conductor tells you you're going. It may be of interest to you, may be relevant, may not be. When you come to the system, you have 25 different individual sessions to choose from. And you can custom tailor your own education. So if you're a beginner, you can go to beginner-level sessions. If you're more advanced, you can go to that. If you're an info marketer, you can do that. If you're an SEO person, you can do that, and on and on. We also, and I'll put this out here, and I welcome the challenge. We have the absolutely most open, friendly, mutually supportive group of students and faculties in any internet marketing environment. We don't have this hierarchy, you know, with a few gurus, you know, strutting around, acting like they're a big deal. We all put our pants on one leg at a time. I don't know about you, Chris, but I started out so clueless in business, it's almost painful to remember. So none of us think we're natural born at this. We know it's a matter of training. We know you come to us for training. That's our job. Our job's not to strut around and you know, tell you how many cars we've got. Our job is to show you how to make money, and we take it very seriously. I've been teaching internet marketing now since 1994, actually three, but 94 is when I did my first event. I've put on a largest internet marketing gathering every year since 94. In 2002, I put the system label on it and really opened it up to everybody because I discovered, practically everybody has a chance to find their way in internet marketing. And that's the last thing I want to talk about just briefly is we don't think one size fits all. We don't think there's one true path. We know that everybody comes to us with different levels of experience, different levels of skill, different interests, and the path to success in internet marketing or any field is harmonizing who you are, you know, what you like to do, what you're good at, what you're interested in, what you have resources with specific opportunities. There is no one golden opportunity. I mean, for Chris and his colleagues and students, you know, they really resonate with real estate. Hey, that's great. In my case, I really resonate with, info marketing and the training business. Other people really resonate with selling physical products. Others really resonate with being advisors to businesses and being JV partners, marketing partners. There's so many ways to skin the cat, and that's why, again, why we have so many different sessions and so many different experts from so many different fields. We want to give you the broadest possible exposure so you can find the place that you fit. I mean, there literally is room for everybody in this industry. I was saying this on a call yesterday or the other day. Not one out of 1,000 business people understands the first thing about the Internet. You know, it's easy to think, well, gosh, everybody knows this stuff. There's teleseminars, there's e-books. And, yeah, but it's a really tiny, tiny, tiny segment of the business world that makes any effort to learn this. So simply by learning the fundamentals of internet marketing and actually applying them even on simple projects immediately distinguishes you as a business person. I mean, just yesterday, a guy in a bar, kind of a combination bar restaurant, I went in, I was up coming home, and I said, hey, the door was open, and I was thirsty, I went and had a beer. And the guy offered me basically lifetime supply of beer and burgers if I would just use internet marketing for him. you know. It took me about an hour, and, you know, I don't know what lifetime. Anyway, good burger. This is the guy. Do you know this guy, Chris? He sells deep fried, and I don't know that I'd eat this stuff. I mean, it sounds good, but I don't know if it's good for your health. But he sells deep fried hamburgers that are stuffed.
Wait.
You remember
that
one? Yeah, he used to have, and we'll talk a little about New Orleans here, because it's
important. Yeah, that's important.
He used to have, his place was right across from the Superdome.
Uh-huh.
And so he was minting money, you know, just.
Oh, man.
You know, and he had a big, you know, just one of these big, rough, kind of clean, but big, rough kind of bars, beers and burgers, you know.
Right.
And the hurricane came, and I don't know, I think he had 8 feet of water in his place. He lost his whole inventory. You know, when you're in the bar business, you have a huge inventory of liquor. And he lost his place, but he's a New Orleans native, and he wanted to come back, and he came back, and he invested a huge amount of money in this new facility, and it's just not in as good a location.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm going to help him a little bit and give him some ideas. I already have some. I mean, I told him, you know, because he has the best burgers, or he thinks he does, in the world, but he doesn't put that in his advertising anywhere. You have to actually come there, and then once you come there, then they tell you about all these amazing burgers they have. So I said, look, man, if you really honestly believe you have the best burgers in the world and are at least willing to compete with everybody else that makes that claim, put that front and center. Put that in all your ads. Don't be shy about it. So I think that little change alone is going to help them. You know, everybody in business needs a hook.
Yeah.
And your hook is not your business name. You know, you got to figure out, gee, what do I do the best? And once you know what that is, that becomes the thing that you throw out and say, hey, guys, this is me. You don't just say, hey, I'm Joe's Bar. Come on over. You know what I mean? So but my point is I will probably, with not too much effort, be able to really help that guy add dollars to his business. We don't even need to go to technology. Why am I going in this long, divergent path here? The point is the investment that you make in learning how to market and think like a marketer and build a network of fellow marketers who you can bounce ideas off on and get good at internet marketing. I honestly, you know, I've worked on Wall Street. I've worked in real estate finance. I mean, I've traded commodities. I've done it all, you know, and I have never seen anything where the return on investment of effort is higher than learning direct marketing and internet marketing. And Chris, maybe you could comment on that as we take this to the end.
Well, first I want to say, it would, if you're looking for a very cool place to go on vacation any time of the year, New Orleans would definitely love to have you. As Ken can attest, the hospitality down there and just the vibe of New Orleans, it's like you've traveled to a different country. And laissez les bons temps rouler, we say, let the good times roll. We have a great time down there. And then as far as, I think that I certainly gave you some exhibits of how understanding some basics of direct marketing, whether it's online or offline, I mean, $500 worth of postcards yielded $12,000 in the case study that I shared with you today. And if they would have sent out the wrong piece, it might not have been the case, but they had a basic understanding and they used our pieces as well that allowed them to really maximize that ROI on every marketing dollar they spent. So it's one of the – college education is very expensive. System isn't, but – your return on investment is going to be considerably higher. So, I mean, I'm going there to learn. I'm honored to be able to share with you guys from the platform, but I'm going there to learn and to meet other people. So it's an investment in my education.
So cool. So basically our big advice to people is go to New Orleans, have fun, and if you want to make money, come to the system and meet with the best marketers around.
Awesome advice.
Chris Daigle, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for putting together this
panel
for System 2008. I'm really excited to be adding a real estate track to this year's system. It's something I've wanted for a long time. Well, you know, I waited for a long time to get the right people. And when I met you, I realized, hey, this is the right people. So we've added it. Yeah. All right, man. We'll talk soon. And I will see you later. Meanwhile, if you're anybody listening to this who's interested in coming to the system seminar, we have actually sold out our hotel block. Not to panic, but the hotel itself will fill up, and so you definitely want to make sure you're in the hotel if you're coming. So don't dawdle on that. For information on registration, go to thesystemseminar.com, and you can read all about us. Chris Daigle, thank you very much, and everybody, thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody. See you at the system. Bye-bye.